Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'll be real curious to see what's said tomorrow. I mean, or about Thursday.
Tomorrow, you mean?
Thursday.
Thursday?
Coming out Thursday. Thursday at 4. Let me
double check. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday at 4. Yeah. I got to send her the link tomorrow, but yeah, Thursday at 4. She was like, I've only done Zoom before. I said, this is easier.
I just hope we don't get fucking stiffed. I'm just so sick of getting stiffed.
I am too. Man, what about Rock? Where's Rockland, man? The hell?
Did he respond to your text? Did someone just respond to you?
No, was that stupid news thing coming up? All right, there's Robert. Robert's in. Mm-hmm. Robert, can you
Hello.
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Robert, can
I'm
you hear
here.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Loud
okay.
And clear.
Okay, good.
All right, we're just waiting on Ness here, see what's going on.
Okay, well, I got one podcast done, so thanks for the delay.
Nice. There you go.
Did you read the article today published by ESPN that Fury says he wants to weigh 300 pounds when he goes into the ring?
Yeah, he said that at the presser.
Said that 3 weeks ago, Robbie.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of ridiculous. He fights great at 260 or 270.
Robbie, do you believe him?
No.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, why do you say that, you know?
I don't know what to believe anymore. Last time he said he was going to come back after him, nobody bought it, and then he did what he said, you know. So,
why was he telling everybody that he had fucking sprained ankles?
Yeah, I don't know that one either. That didn't make any sense.
Steve, you want to text him and see what's going on here? Just give a quick text.
That's it.
I mean, if he's having trouble with the StreamYard or whatever, the software, we can fix that. But
no, he was on D-Styles before.
Oh, and Eric, you're right. The Australian flight started 5 a.m.
Right, now he's saying the fucking link isn't working. Okay, hang on.
He said the link's not working?
Yeah. All right, let's... All right, let me jump out. I'll jump right back in. Hang on.
Okay.
All right, give me one sec. I know we sent this exact same one. So.
Is he all set?
I sent him the link, so.
Did he respond to you?
I just sent it to him.
What did he say? That he couldn't get on? He couldn't.
Said, yeah, link isn't working. I'm like, okay. I'll tell you what, dude. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Is he on?
Yeah, he's on.
Hello.
Ness, can you hear me?
I hear you. How are you guys? Do you hear me?
Hold on.
Yeah, good, man. Good.
Hey, man, sorry about the technical difficulty. Link kept saying it was broken.
Oh, yeah, no worries, man. No worries. We got it fixed now, so it's all good.
What's going on, Papi Chulo?
I'm glad we can link up, man. How the hell are you?
I'm good, man.
Good to hear that, man.
I missed you.
I missed you, man. You know I've been texting you.
I ain't gonna even lie to you. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I missed you.
I texted you throughout the years, so you know that I genuinely missed you. I used to text you, and then, you know, you never...
No, you called me one time, and I missed your call, man. I don't remember you texting me, but...
But I tried. I'm glad. It doesn't matter, man. We're here
it don't
now.
Matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters.
That's right. We're here now.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's fucking just do it.
Robert, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ring five.
All right, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, how are you, Ness?
Kissing you, man. Kissing you. Happy to hear your voice, brother. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Amen to that, brother. Amen.
All right, here we go.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we have a very special Tuesday show for you. It's the Boxing Voice Reunion Show. We got Nestor Gibbs. Ness, how are you?
Oh, man, super excited to be on. Thank you for having me, and hello to everybody, man.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. We got Ringside Robert.
Yeah, hello, everybody. It's good to be back. Glad to be here. When I was told that this was going to happen, I made sure that I was definitely going to be available because I didn't want to miss this.
There you go. And, of course, we got Joe Habib in the house.
What's going on, everybody?
From Boston.
And, of course, Eric Lorta, that's me. And I tell you what, man, let's just jump right into it. If you guys want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And we got a bunch of topics tonight, and let's just start about it, man. Guys, how long has it been since you guys have been on the same podcast together like this? It's been a while. I read somewhere in the chat somebody said 5 years. Or
no,
something crazy. It's been a long time, right?
Yeah, it's been longer than that, 5 years. Could be
no,
longer.
It's been five years.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years.
I don't know. What year do you think it was, Biba?
2016. That's
16.
Oh, I think it was 2016. Yeah, it's 5 years.
Okay, so. Five long years, man. Unfortunate years. We could have been making radio gold every now and then.
I know.
Here we are, man.
That's right. We'll fix it up. I tell you what, when we talked about the show, Ness, Beeb, ever since we've talked about the show, has been beaming. He has just been beaming. He's so happy to be here, so happy to, you know, he's like, are we going to do the show? He's like, we got to get this together, blah, blah, blah. So he's been very excited about this. He missed you. He missed you.
Yeah, I missed you.
Oh, man, good. I see a lot of our mutual friends in the chat, man. So I'm happy, man. I'm happy everybody's rocking out with us, man.
Yeah.
That thumbs up button, man. Show your love and support for the show, man. We're here to talk some boxing, man. You guys got some pretty good topics. They're definitely going to move the needle.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. So tell us, now you're working with fighters now, correct? You do your show, you know, the Boxing Voice and everything like that, but you're also working with some fighters, man, because it's pretty exciting, man. Tell us about it.
Yeah, man, me and Mario and one other friend, we've started a publicity agency, and we've been doing some publicity for fighters, and yeah, spreading our wings, so to speak. And, man, we got a good amount of fighters now. We got a nice little stable. I think we got about 10 fighters or close to that, maybe 7 so far. And good names. You know, we're not just picking up anybody. You know, we're picking up people that we know and that we have some sort of personal relationship with, because at the end of the day, you know, we want to do our best to put their names out there and help them get further along in their career. I mean, obviously with Ryan Garcia being able to renegotiate his contract twice in the media, I think everybody's kind of realized how powerful social media is, and the fact that they need to get ahead of that before it's too late. You know what I mean? Look at Jake Paul. He was able to get a 3-fight deal because of the power of social media. So the quicker these fighters realize that, the better off they'll be.
Do they realize it? I mean, you know, the up-and-comer fighters, and I know you do, like, a lot of the up-and-comers and everything like that. Do they realize the importance of social media? I mean, because a lot of them, you know, they just want to box. They don't really realize, you know, that we got to put things out there. We got to get noticed. We have to be, you know, attract people to us.
I think they do. I think they're starting to pick up on it more than in the past, obviously. I mean, you look at a guy like Mike Polite-Coffey. I love him. I've been interviewing him since he was 0-0. He's about to have a main event July 31st on PBC, but he's got 2,000 followers. Then you look at a heavyweight that I'm working with. He's 5-0, 5 KOs. He's got 40-something thousand followers. So it's about what are you doing to put yourself out there, you know? And for instance, Dakari might get some hate, a.k.a. Mack Truck, because he puts out sparring, but he's 5-0, not signed to a major promoter. He doesn't have Al Haymon, and yeah, he's got more followers. Now, obviously, Mike Polite-Coffey is getting the opportunities, but when Mack Truck's phone gets rung, those offers will be better for him because of the following that he brings, because he's already selling tickets, you know, at a ground roots level. So I think it is important, of grave importance to these fighters. I mean, look at Tank. His following is showing that he's a star, you know. Man, I mean, I was in Atlanta, and I've covered a lot of fights in this time that I've been doing this. People really came out for that kid. Stars and beautiful people, no fights, you know, spending money. So Tank is well on his way.
Let me ask you a question. What do you do when, you know, you say, like, say, Dakari has, like, 40,000 followers and Coffee has, like, 2,000 or something like that, and he's going to be main event. What advice do you give these guys? I mean, as far as, like, how do they bring that level up? I mean, what is the formula there for them?
I think for a Coffee, at this point, it's a little bit too late, and it'll work itself out. If we remember, F.A. Ajagba got a PBC fight. I forgot the guy who walked out the ring, but that raised the job by 10,000 in that.
Yeah.
So the right fight can take you to the next level. If he knocks out Gerald Washington the way that he knocked out Damani Rock, there's no telling how many thousands of followers he could pick up. When Andy Ruiz beat AJ, obviously we're talking about Anthony Joshua, but he got to 1 million, you know. Then he got with Canelo, and he's at 1.8. So there are ways to raise it, man. Affiliations, for sure. And just like you and I, collaborations, you know, you and I getting together, we're mixing my audience and you're introducing me to your audience. You know, hopefully I have you guys on my panel and it's the same way. And that's what, you know, networking is and growth comes from. Hopefully, you know, that's what happens for Coffee. And for the fighters that we're working with, right, because we want to bring awareness to their, you know, their platforms, their social media, their fights, give them visibility, help them sell tickets, and hopefully make them bigger names in this sport. You know, for instance, Beeb has 10 years doing this. You know, he's got to know at least 5 podcasters, 5 authors that he can call on that, you know, can do him a favor, can write a story because of his time in. He's already put the time in. And I think that's what we have over traditional publicists, right? Like, not just the Boxing Voice, but if you guys decided to help some fighters, you have a platform. traditional publicists don't have a platform. Kelly Swanson, she's a beautiful person, biggest publicist in the world when it comes to boxing, but she doesn't have a platform. She'd be lucky if her Instagram or something is as big as my personal Instagram. So her Rolodex is strong, and her years in the business give her, obviously, that advantage. But, you know, that same time that she has, I'll be putting in, my platform will continue to grow, and I believe I'll have a one-up on the traditional publicists, because if all else fails, come on to my platform where we're established with over 130,000 subscribers.
That's an interesting point, especially like Kelly Swanson. Like you said, she doesn't have a big social media, you know, a social media platform, but she has a big Rolodex, and here you're working to build both, and you think that'll, yeah, that should carry you in the future. Of all the fighters you have now, if you had to pick one, who becomes champion first?
Oh, well, that's easy because she's already become champion. Let
minus
me tell
her,
you.
Minus her.
Okay, well, Shadeja Green.
Yes.
I think Shadeja Green, you know, I'll probably, you know, get pinned to the cross for this one, but she's going to take out a major name, whether it be Savannah, whether it be Clarissa herself, whether it be Alicia Napoleon, Alejandra Jimenez, or Franchon Cruz de Zern. There's no doubt in my mind that this young lady is just as good. And again, the beauty of this is, like I told her when I seeked her out, I'm not just looking for clients. I shared the ring with Shadeja Green. I've watched her spar men. I've seen her spar Dervianchenko. I've seen her spar Kurt Seides, Hakeem Nurse. I know the level of talent. Now, no, I haven't seen Alicia Napoleon and Christina Hammer and Clarissa Shields do that. I haven't. I wonder, can they? I wonder, can they hang with real grown men? You know, I'm not saying that they don't. I'm sure all women spar men. But I know this one is a dog. I know she sparred Melissa Odessa. I know she sparred Aida Biggs, who is the sister of Justin Biggs from Brooklyn. She sparred a lot of females, and when I talk to them, they all say the same thing. Shadeja is a beast. It's like a diamond in the rough. I really don't know why she hasn't been, I guess, discovered is the word. I did bring her up to Eddie Hearn, who seems to be interested in females. And she'd make a perfect opponent for Savannah Marshall. But she hasn't been picked up by a major, but she's still grinding it out. 8-0, 7 KOs. You tell me the last time a girl was 5-0 and didn't already get a title shot. There's a reason they're keeping her away from these other young ladies, but her time will come, and I believe she will be our next world champion as far as TBV, you know, TBV media. Shadeja Green should definitely be that. But I also got a heavyweight, American heavyweight. He's 2-0, Derek Starling, very known in the amateurs and just turned pros. Got a fight coming up in about 2 weeks. And he's big, you know. He's strong, and he's boxing first, right? So as long as he could take a punch, he should be able to go far. You know, Gerald Washington is boxing first, and look at how far his career has gone. Here he is with another opportunity. His knock is the chin. Can he take the chin? You know, we had him on the show. He says, look, it's heavyweight boxing. People call me Chinny, but it's heavyweight. But we'll see.
Let me ask you a question. So do you help these guys get, you know, you said that Shadeja, she's 8-0, and she's not signed to any big promoter yet. Is that part of your job as well, or is that more the manager's position?
It's definitely the manager's job, but I will not lie. I'm helping with everything I can. I'm not gonna tell you anything different than that. Whatever they need help with, I'm trying to help with. Even in our contract, it states any advice me and my team could give, we will give. And, you know, I'm ecstatic. At the moment, I can't exactly say who, but I recommended someone to a lawyer, and they're going to be able to free them out of their contract. So, you know, I'm doing okay in the eyes of my clients, and you know, I just wanna get more and continue to do a good job for each individual. Like, I got Lucas Body, he's from Canada. You know, he's 10-0, 10 KOs, and they're little goals that I'm just I'm falling in love with, right? Like, I get to say I represent a fighter that's represented by Phil Agreco, former fighter, you know. Ties to Al Haymon. I get to say that my fighter is represented by David Itzkowitz, former CEO for Roc Nation. Those are little goals for me, you know what I mean? It's like I said, like Melissa, when we got her, she was just a contender. Now she's an IBO champion. So it's a hunt for the other five. So that I'm living her story with her. So those little goals, I mean, I'm just happy. I got a smile every day. Yo, it's beautiful that I'm here doing the interview with you guys, because me and Beeb had this conversation all the time. What would you do if you can do this for a living? I wish I can do this for a living. We would say that to each other, and here we are. And we're making the dream come true, and I can't be mad. I just can't be mad. It's like I tell everybody, no matter if nothing, if I don't get any bigger than I am for the next 5 to 10 years, I'm so happy. Like, I'm living in Florida. I got my second home. I didn't even have to sell my first home. Like, that alone is an accomplishment for our family itself. You know, you call a real estate agent, they're like, do you need to sell before you're buying? You know, because now they got to sell your house. Wait for the closing. No, I don't. That was because of boxing. And I'm just grateful, man. Look, I've made tons of mistakes. You know, me and Beeb's fallout was a mistake. Numerous co-hosts, even some things in most recently I've handled poorly. I just hope I can do better next time out. And, you know, like, I'm doing business with Fight Hype, and it's because I seen him, and I went up to him. And, you know, me and – I used to tell Beeb a dozen things about Ben Thompson because I was so competitive. There's nothing malice. It was nothing negative. It's just I wanted to win. I wanted to win. So when I seen him, I said, listen, man, if I ever said anything wrong about you, I apologize. That was my competitive name. I just wanted to win. There was a point when Ben, maybe it was 60, 80,000 subs from me, I thought I could win. So anything I might have said was all in competitive nature. I let him know that, and I apologize. And then next thing you know, he's given me an opportunity to double dip, is what I like to call it. Because if I could still put my interviews on my own channel and give them to you and make double, triple, quadruple the amount of money, I'm not mad. And that all came from swallowing my ego and apologizing for my own, you know, aggressive nature. I get a little too excited. I like to, who doesn't want to win, right? We all want to win. If we could take Cali, we would.
When you're young, you get the knowledge first, and then you get the wisdom second. So now you got the wisdom. You always had the knowledge, but now you got the wisdom. Wisdom is through experience.
B, why don't you age, brother?
He doesn't, does he?
Well,
52 now? What are you, 52?
He's 52 in December, man.
Crazy.
Lord have mercy. Honestly, you look so young. You make me want to comb my beard, bro. Young right now, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Honestly, I mean, 52, I would have never guessed it.
No.
And I feel like when we were together, you would say 44, but you haven't aged at all.
It's insane, man. It really is.
Yeah, man.
The fountain of youth over here. The fountain of youth. Robert, jump in here.
Yeah, well, hey, I think this whole thing is awesome. Like I said on Sunday's show, Eric, when we announced this to the audience, I think it's great that we're all together and we can all work together, because instead of being competitors, if we work together, maybe we can figure out a way to bring more people into this wonderful sport that we all love and care about. And we go out of our way to make sure that we watch all the fights and we pay attention to what our fighters are doing. And I think this whole process is fantastic, and I'm glad we were able to do this.
I agree, man. For many years, again, I just put myself in this competition with everybody. And, you know, YouTube itself teaches you that in order to grow, you got to collaborate. And I myself alienated myself from anybody I could collaborate with just simply because I wanted to win, you know. But the way to win is to collaborate. And that's my intentions moving forward. You know, I had D-Style on the panel. I'm here with you guys. I was on Major Keys, I believe. I mean, I've been all over, and I want to open that invitation to you guys as well. You know, yeah. One thing I will give, you know, 78 Sports and Black Fight Fest, their community is strong, and it sticks together, and they support one another. And, you know, if the YTBC could do that, I mean, there's no telling, you know, what we can do. So, yeah, man, I look forward to this not being the first nor the last time that we're on together. I know you guys, a few of you all do kind of like a round table. Unfortunately, it's on my flagship day, but I would like to, you know, come up with another day that works for everybody so that we can, you
I'll
know.
I'll stop popping in the mornings with you for an hour or two.
Uh-oh. There we go.
I could pop in. I can pop in.
Let's do it.
I can cut my gym session like a little bit, a little back and just pop in.
B, you still ripped up over there?
In the 200 mark right now, 205 right now.
Oh, man.
He's not flexing
heavy
today. I don't understand it. You're flexing every other show. Every other show, you're pulling your sleeves up.
I can't be doing that. I can't be doing that.
All of a sudden, you're shy now? What do you get shy?
Get flagged. I don't want to get flagged.
You don't want to get flagged. I like that one.
Oh, man. Well, let's move to some topics here, man. You had mentioned 78 Sports, and they're part of the LDBC, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they've got a huge, huge following. All of those channels do. You talk about LBDC, you talk about Lion's Den, and all the others. I mean, Blue Blood, I think, is part of that as well. He's got a major channel going on as well. Now, Deontay Wilder gave an interview to 78 just recently, and he stated that he thinks that Fury is going to cheat again. And I guess my thing is with this is that, like, none of the cheating has been proven. I mean, the commission would have caught something. His drug test would have caught something if somebody spiked his water. There's a billion things we could say, but he continues to talk. I know Fury has kind of buried himself underground in his training and everything like that. What goes through your head, and I'll pose a question to everybody, but what goes through your head when you hear this kind of stuff, you know, when you hear him go on 78 and talk like this and everything like that? Because I know he was a big part of your show at one point, and I imagine that maybe he still is. I don't know. But, you know, how does that – what is your take on that?
I think my co-host or one – someone said it the best. I just wanted to come. What do we got now? 14 days? No, is it 24th? So we're like 19 days or something like that? 18? I just wanted to come because there's so much, right? It's like you think Fury's going to cheat, but you're going back to the same commission that you claimed allowed him to cheat. It's just so many answers that we're not going to get answers for. We're just not. So the only true answer, in my opinion, is the fight, the outcome of the fight, you know, and who wins it. This fight... It's another beautiful fight, though. Like, the truth is, it's given us something we've never gotten. Look, I'm glad again to be on this show. I was asking, D-Style, and he really couldn't answer it. Maybe Beeb, with all the history. Have you ever seen another heavyweight fight that had a trilogy, let alone if Wilder can win? People might ask for a fourth fight sometime down the line. So this is very historical.
Holyfield fought both three times.
Major Ali three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Those two come to mind immediately.
Yeah.
Holyfield, Bo, two legendary names. And who else? And this is
Frazier Ali.
Frazier Ali. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're putting themselves amongst greats just simply by doing what they naturally needed to do. So if Wilder can somehow get the knockout, which is highly improbable, according to most experts in the betting line, even though betting line kind of evened up there, Beef.
It's going up and down. I went up to Seabrook, and he was a plus 220. Then he went up to a plus 260. Wilder.
Wow.
Yeah, so it depends on the book you're going to. Because we got sports books out here now, so we can go up and take a ride up to New Hampshire or whatever. We're going to be getting one in September. We got a casino in Everett, like 10 minutes from my house right now. They're going to be getting a sports book in September. So you're going to have all these different lines. My brother was showing me, because he goes and plays poker up there, and my friend bet Wilder at a plus 220. I don't want to, you know, jinx him. I don't tell him that I don't think Wilder's going to win or whatever. I just, yeah, whatever. Because I don't want to jinx his bet. But my brother was just showing me that, like, Wilder's a plus 260 now. So he went up a couple points. It may go down again. I don't know.
Yeah, I got him down. He was 250 on mybookie.ag. He's plus 210. Tyson is a minus 270.
Okay, so that, yeah. So that moved then. That moved significantly.
Yeah. The over-under is minus, and that's pretty even money because it's minus 115 for Wilder, 7.5, and minus 105 for Fury, over 7.5. So,
wow, it's tough. I'd probably take the over.
B, did you know I bet the draw in the first fight, bro?
Did you really?
I bet the draw in the first fight.
Wow. That's crazy. That's huge.
I caught him 4,700 for the draw.
Good for you.
The only bet I made was that fight. I mean, was that draw. I didn't make any other parlays, any other single bets. I just felt the powers that be. And sure enough, I'm not saying that it was corruption, but somehow, some way, we got a draw that was controversial. And
Did you think it was a draw then? Did you think it was a draw then? Did you have a problem with the draw?
I don't have any problem with the draw because I don't see how people that have been watching boxing, you know, even 2 years, really thought that Wilder didn't win a round from 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Not even one round.
Well, think about this. Because you and I, we both had Bradley winning that Pacquiao fight. Like, we was in the minority on that one, right? So it's hard for us to criticize other people's scorecards when, like, we've been on the other end of it, right? So...
And that's what I get the most shit for, B, because I'm notoriously more of a scorer for boxers.
I know you are. Yeah. You like that style. Yeah.
I like the boxer. Hit and don't be hit.
Yeah.
Like making your opponent miss and making him – and you paying him off with a nice counter, that's what this sport is about. That's what I like, you know. Jaime Linares, up until he got clipped. Man, that was like superb boxing. I love that. You know, I fell in love with Wilder's power because he allowed me to go to so many camps. I've never seen anyone do that in sparring, like on a consistent basis. It just was like I was mesmerized, and I said to myself, it doesn't matter who he touches, they will go down. And Fury did go down, but the issue is since that first fight, guys, he's just taking those shots. So much better. Even the first fight, like, we can't compare Fury's body language getting up from either of those two knockdowns to any other past Deontay Wilder opponent that has been put down. They all get up delirious, drunk, dizzy, legs not under him. Fury got up, shook it off, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that felt he won that 12th round. Not won it, but fought back. And,
fought back,
and,
yeah, for sure.
I think the little nuances and the little idiosyncrasies that Fury does, like, I don't think people notice. If you go back and watch when he got knocked down, he's rolling and riding them shots out. He's not catching them shots flush. It's like he can see that right hand at the tail end, and he's reacting, and he's turning it. Even in the 12th round, he didn't really catch the blunt of that right hand. He kind of still rolled it a little bit, but it was such a hard punch that it knocked him down.
I thought there was the left. Like, he rolled with the right, but the left.
The left. But again, that's not a money punch for Wilder. Wilder doesn't really turn that left hook over. Like if that was Joshua throwing that left hook, he may not have gotten up because Joshua really gets leverage and turns that left hook over.
I mean, we might go down a rabbit hole because I feel like the left hook on Scott was real. I know a lot of people call it a phantom punch. But being in the gym, man, and watching them just drop dudes with sparring gear and headgear, I'm just like, yeah, that left hook landed. That shit is real. Like, it's just power. But again, Fury didn't seem affected in the second fight. He rolled everything, like you said. It just, I don't know, man. He's got to show us.
He got the number, man. He's got his number.
And if he doesn't, again, Wilder would make history, but he's going to have to show it. What do you guys think about the clips, man? I've been asking anybody who would listen, who I interview. Some people see improvement. Some people see change. And then you got people that are like, oh, well, that's just pad work. What happens when he's sparring? What happens when he gets hit? Is he going to revert?
Yes. I did a video this morning. I was talking about it. If the easiest way to make a fighter look good mm-hmm. is put him on the pad. Because you control it. He's throwing punches. You're like, you can smack the pads, make the punches sound harder, right? You can pull the pad back, make the punches look harder, right? So when I'm watching him on the pads, he's doing what he likes to do. He's throwing punches from a distance, right? He's doing his natural strengths. So he's not really working on his weaknesses because he lost that second fight because he got mauled on the inside. He got out-muscled on the inside. So they should be simulating a real fight. So if you're on the pads with someone like that, you got to get in there and you got to crowd him. You got to bump him. He's got to teach Wilder when Fury gets in there and leans on him, give him the bump. Give him the bump and create the space with the bump. Give him a little bump. You know what I'm saying? Give him a little push off. And, you know, you got to make him pull back. So if he's leaning on you, you pull back, let him fall forward. These are all things you got to work on. You got to work on how to deal when this guy's going to body you on the inside. He ain't going to let you get the space to throw the jab and turn the right hand over. He doesn't need someone hitting the back. Like, I remember when I used to be at the gym, you know, a girl would come up to me, hey, can you show me how to throw punches? And then I'd be on the pads with her. I'd be like, boom, boom, like making her punches, like, damn, you can punch, baby, like, because I wanted her to come back and train with me tomorrow because I wanted to get with her, right? That's how you got to make that. That's like a confidence builder, right? So you're making this dude look good, and you're going out of your way to make this dude look good, but you're not working on the weaknesses. You're not correcting mistakes, and you're not adding a new wrinkle. He's just doing what he normally does. He trains himself. He just trains himself, and he got somebody in there that's going to let him train himself. That's going to be the yes man. There you go. There you go. Like, come on. Like, every punch he throws, there you go. Like, he's a hype man.
Positive reinforcement, B.
Okay, but here's the thing. Nobody's perfect. You're walking around all day, right, whether you're with your woman or your wife, whatever, and she's sitting there saying, oh, honey, I love you, I love you. You can't love me that much. You can't be telling me I love you every 5 minutes, right? Nobody's that good, right? You know what I'm saying? You can't give somebody unconditional praise. When you give somebody unconditional praise, that's the world we live in. Everybody gets a trophy, right? Nobody can do anything wrong anymore. Oh, that's okay. It's okay you struck out 3 times. You can get up next. You can go back and play next time. As long as you try. I struck out 3 times. My dad said, what the F is wrong with you, man? You
got grounded.
Threw me in the batting cage for like an hour.
That's what I would have done.
I think this, all this training footage is just him hitting the pads, right? What else has he done? He's not done anything else. He's hitting the pads, and he's smashing his right hand. What else is he doing? I'm not saying anything else.
We know he can hit hard. I mean, we know he can hit hard, and, you know, watching him on the pads and everything like that, he hits hard, no question. You know, can this translate into the second fight, though? Without footwork? Here's the other thing is that, like, all right, so what happens? Okay, so say he changes. Say he's a Jermaine Taylor. Say once he gets hit, does he go Jermaine Taylor? Does he go back to what he knows?
Well, first of all, his stance is so wide, too.
Yeah.
Whenever you have your stance wide like that, it takes you that much more time to reset from transitioning back to offense to defense because you're wide like that. So you gotta take more time to pull yourself and get yourself back into that defensive construct because your feet are wide. You're off balance, right? You're throwing a punch and you're overextended because your feet are wide. He gotta learn to keep his feet closer together. His footwork isn't the greatest. I mean, he's lucky. He's a genetically gifted person. He's just normally an athletic guy. He's got a great amount of fast twitch muscle fibers. He's gifted with that. Mm-hmm. So he can get by with this raw athletic ability and just physical attributes, right?
But doesn't that mean that he can learn more too because he's
– No, because he's stubborn, bro. He's a stubborn guy. He wants to do things his way.
But is that you believing he's still the same? Now, obviously, we've had our fallout, but I'm looking at redemption. I'm thinking when you lose, it changes something about you. Now, it could be two things. You could go into depression, you know, and lose yourself, or it can motivate you. This doesn't seem like a motivated Wilder to you?
I'll tell you the problem, Ness. It's not a motive. It's somebody. He's searching for confidence, Ness. Think about it. He's going into these on these channels, which is a controlled environment. He's going there because he knows these guys are going to gas him up. He doesn't want to be ever told he's doing something wrong. Soon as you tell him he's doing something wrong, you're wrong, not him. All Paulie Malignaggi did was say, hey, I scored the fight for Fury. He attacked Paulie. Paulie didn't call him a name. Paulie didn't say, oh, he looked like shit. He didn't talk to him in a disparaging way. All he did was say you lost the fight, and that triggered him. All fighters are sensitive. We know that. We've been doing this a long time. We know they're sensitive. But this guy's ego is a little bit more fragile than most, to me. This is my opinion. I mean, this is all my opinion. So for me, he likes to be in a controlled environment where everybody is just telling him what he wants to hear. That word hating gets thrown around so much. You know what that word hating really means? It means you're telling me something I don't want to hear, right? You're not giving me unconditional praise. I need unconditional praise. So if someone does something wrong and no one's going to tell them they're doing something wrong, how do they correct their mistakes? So he's got people around him. If he's telling himself and everybody around him is telling him the only reason why you lost that second fight is because the guy cheated, then you don't have to do nothing wrong. You don't have to correct anything. You didn't lose because of what you did. You lost because the guy cheated. And I don't even think he believes that. He's become a media creation, like a media, social media creation. YouTube created him, right? This is a character he's playing, and YouTube created it. And all the power to him. It's made him more popular, believe it or not, because now he's got a lot of people that are just going to watch to see him lose now. So he's got that side, and now he's got the minions on here. So social media is powerful. And I remember when Eddie Hearn used to say, oh, no one knows who he is, blah, blah, blah. I give him all the credit in the world because he made himself big via social media. He was going to all the fights, doing all the interviews, talking to everybody, going on everyone's podcast. And you can laugh if you want, but he's using the LDBC, and the LDBC is using him. So part of me thinks this is just like he's just playing a WWE character right now. I don't even think he believes half of what he's saying. I'm always thinking this is the guy I know, the real Deontay Wilder, is that guy that turned pro at 20, did it for his daughter. He's the guy that was driving that Coca-Cola truck, working at them fast food restaurants, and did it for his daughter. You know what I'm saying? He had no money, but he stood by his family, and he took care of all his kids. He did what he had to do. That's the guy I think is the real Deontay Wilder. I don't think what we're seeing right now is the real Deontay Wilder. I think this is the character, and I think he's going to play this character because it's getting him attention. It's going to make him money in the long run. And when it's all said and done, he'll probably flip the switch and go back to the old Deontay Wilder. When he rides off into the sunset. That's just my opinion.
Do you think the strategy is making him more money by going only to the platforms that you feel comfortable?
Well, Floyd did the same thing. Didn't Floyd do the same thing?
Definitely.
Did the same thing, right? The blueprint's out there.
But Floyd, Stephen A. was a lot more interested in Floyd, so he followed Floyd regardless of where Floyd
went.
But
what did Stephen A. say when Deontay Wilder lost the second fight? Stephen A. said, I couldn't sleep. They're talking about him on Fox. They're talking about him on ESPN. Even if they're saying bad things about him, like Floyd said, as long as you talk about me, that's all that matters. So he actually had to be the bad guy. So he was the good guy, and it wasn't working for him. As soon as he started being outspoken, talking trash to Anthony Joshua, being that bad guy, and then he took it to another level because the LDBC guys made him even more of an anti-hero, right? And he's just riding off that, man. He's just playing that character. Dude, he's got an LDBC thing on his icon, bro. He's officially part of the LDBC right now.
You spent a lot of time with Deontay in the past, according to your videos and everything. You talked about being in training camp and everything. Is this him? I mean, is this the guy? Is this the same guy that you talk to? Is this the same guy? Does he put on a persona for publicity's sake, and does he have a private persona? I mean, is it just him? He's just kind of morphed into this.
Nah, I just think this is his way of stepping back. You know, obviously, we all had things to say after the fight. And I just feel that Deontay's not handling this situation the way that he handled the Anthony Joshua situation. Like, bro, I made jokes about Joshua Daly. Like, how many views did we get off of Anthony Joshua's loss? Like, the memes, you know, if I post any of that stuff, if I post memes of Wilder, like, I'm obviously out of the camp, you know, but I can post memes on AJ. It's this unfair double standard that I don't get. When AJ made an excuse and said it was a punt from the gods, they said he wasn't a real champion. Anytime something came up, AJ never said he was knocked out, but that was another excuse that was given or put out there to shame AJ that he was knocked out in sparring by Joey DeWelco. We all laughed. We all did shows. I just don't understand. Why can't that energy be the same? Like, it's your turn. He literally said after the fight, he was never a champion. That's why he lost. So now no one can say the same to you? No one can, you know, take the same shots that you took at another champ? I don't know. And I just want the fight to come to get us an outcome because that's the only thing that's going to settle this.
Robert, who do you have winning this fight?
Well, I have Tyson Fury winning this fight. I firmly believe that Fury fought well in the first fight. He dominated the second fight. And, you know, he's riding on a high right now. And, you know, I want, as a boxing fan, not as somebody that does podcasts or anything, but as a boxing fan, I want to see Tyson Fury win so we can eventually get what all boxing fans want, a unification fight for the undisputed heavyweight title. Because my understanding was they were in the process of negotiating that before all this came down with the arbitrator and stuff. And we haven't had a unification fight in the heavyweight division for a number of years. And I'm looking forward to the day that that can happen so we have one undisputed champion and, you know, we know who our true heavyweight champion is. And, you know, I'm pulling for Fury as a fan just so we can see him and Joshua settle the score. And, you know, hey, if Wilder somehow pulls off a miracle, you know, and wins this fight, I want to see if Wilder wins, I want to see Deontay Wilder do the same thing. I want a unification fight no matter who wins. I want to see that because that's something we have not had as boxing fans for quite some time.
And I don't think we're going to get it regardless of who wins this Fury Wilder fight because Fury is so unpredictable. He may retire after this fight. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah,
he's so
true,
unpredictable,
Joe.
Bro.
He is an unpredictable guy. That's for sure, man.
He's already talking about retirement right now.
That's not good. That's not good.
I mean, are you guys afraid that he's not taking it as serious as the first and second fight? Because he's not as visible as he once was in his previous training camps. I don't know. He's not even on social media like that.
He's dialed in right now.
That's what he said. He said he was going to go underground to train. He's going to be cutting off social media and everything like that. I don't know what to make of the silence, to be honest with you. I don't, you know, because he's always out there, you know.
I think this is the time to go silent because when you're out there talking, giving interviews, that's wasted energy. You could be putting forward, you know, towards your training, right?
Mm-hmm. How much you think Jared Anderson is bringing to the table? He seems to be one of the lead sparring partners, top ranked. You know, they're posting on their social media like this is a pay-per-view round. Like people would pay for the rounds that Fury and Jared Anderson are doing. How does he help Fury get prepared for Wilder, though? I feel like he's so much smaller.
What I think Fury's looking for is he's looking for someone who's going to make it – push him and make him fight a fast-paced fight in the rounds. I think that guy's mainly for conditioning work more so than tactics. Because you've been in the camps. You know how they bring different guys in. They'll bring the fast guy in, and they'll bring the big guy in, and they'll bring the defense guy in, and they'll bring the physical guy. They have all different types. So they're trying to probably cover all their bases. This is the guy that they put in there to make Theory work, in my opinion.
And Jerry Anderson, being from Ohio, you know he's going to put in work. You know, I mean, the great state of Ohio, you know, Titletown, baby, showing up. So, of course, they got I mean, listen, man, of course they got Jared Anderson in there. Why wouldn't they be silly not to get him in there? Next big heavyweight.
It's going to help Jared Anderson with his own career. All the work with, you know, Tyson Fury, it's going to make Anderson better in his own fights.
That's true.
There you go.
He's on the card. Never heard of his opponent, but he's on the card.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's switch gears here real quick. Let me go to the phones. 443, I think this is Baltimore. Robert, is that Baltimore?
I think that's Wood.
Wood?
That's Wood.
443, you're live.
That's Troy.
Brent.
Yes, Troy. Yeah. Yes, Troy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good, man. Good to see y'all together. No, I know. I said it's good to see y'all together.
Man? What's happening, man?
Yeah.
How you been, man?
It is. Good. Now,
what's
Nesta,
the conspiracy
tonight?
What do you got?
Through all this. Can you hear me? Because it sounds a little bad on my end, so I don't know how it sounds on your end.
Yeah, go ahead.
You, man.
Okay, yeah. Now, through all this nonsense with the video and Wilder, I've always stated that I'm not one for censorship. I'm not one for people getting their stuff pulled. So I'm not agreeing with any of that whatsoever. So, you know, and I know that you're tough enough to go through it, so go on and go through it. But I said something to you a while back. That's when Joshua lost. You laughed at me. I said that Joshua has character and Wilder is a character. You fast forward to present day, it's showing itself, isn't it? Now, you don't have to answer that question, but yeah. Right?
You always got to take shots at somebody.
Seems like my words are coming to light.
I always got to take shots at somebody.
Huh?
Troy, you always got to like.
Yes, sir.
You have this like mission. You have this mission to always like you want to prove somebody wrong all the time.
Oh, stop.
No, like, that's absolutely not true.
It's all love, but like. You made a point to come on here and try to make a dude eat his words from like 1965 and shit. Like,
no, brother, I'm not trying to make him eat his words. I'm simply saying from my point of view.
When I was 12,
hold on.
I sold a candy bar out of freaking Walmart. Am I going to get in trouble?
This ain't nothing. This ain't nothing with him.
Okay.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear because I was talking at the same time.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, man. I'm listening to you, man. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have nothing against this cat, really. I just push back when I get pushed back, but I ain't got nothing against him. And also, man, I always have a lot of respect for what you're doing.
You do it everywhere. You go on every podcast and you like try to start arguments with dudes, man. You know that. You're a contrarian.
Really? No, I don't. And I'm sitting over here smiling because I was on a couple of podcasts yesterday. I was just quiet most of the time, so no.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you're listening to, but I don't know. Because I'm not arguing with you now, am I?
Okay. No, you're not arguing with me. I mean, you're taking shots at somebody else on the panel.
No, I'm not arguing with anybody, am I?
Okay. No, you're not. Troy, who are you picking, man?
Yeah.
Who you got?
To be honest with
you,
I really don't give a damn about this fight, but I'm going to stick with the prediction that I've always had. I'm going to root for Deontay because I have this thing. Everybody that I root for seems to lose, so I'm going to root for Deontay Wilder. Yes,
wow.
Sounds a little backwards, but yes.
Cold, man.
Everybody I root for seems to lose except for Andre Ward. So I'm going to root for Deontay Wilder. And my personal opinion on this fight is that Wilder won this fight already and he hasn't thrown one punch. Because I think this is WWE at his best. I think this is a joke. I think this whole situation is a damn joke.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
He's not the only person. There's a couple dudes that think the fix is in on this fight. They think Fury's going to just lose, like take a dive and shit.
For what, though?
If he wins this fight...
Listen to me. If Fury wins this fight, he goes and fights AJ for like $1 billion. He can build his own space program with the money he's getting. He loses to Wilder. He can't get that money. You know what I'm saying?
And so, and the trip or the fourth fight, is the fourth fight going to be worth this $200 million that Eddie found? No, this that theory makes no sense.
Zero.
To throw a fight. I mean, man, the amount of money they would have to give this dude. Come on, guys.
Right.
Know.
Yeah.
No, but you know what makes no sense?
He's too prideful. He's too prideful, man. He loves to say that he smashed Wilder and he's going to beat up AJ. Like, come on, man. He loves that he was the first dude to beat up Vlad.
Well, he beat him. He beat him up, but yeah, he beat him. That fight was disgusting. I can't even watch it anymore, but yeah. He definitely it's an ugly, ugly fight. But the truth is, I just feel that there's something strange about all this because, you know, the whole thing with arbitration, he didn't really have to go to that. You know, nobody could force you to go to arbitration. Then as soon as this man won, the fight's set already, and you have all the, you know, you have all the secondary fights that are in place already. You have a date in place already. As soon as he wins, how did he win the arbitration
Troy.
And then a month later the fight set?
Troy.
Yes, sir.
Troy, didn't I break this down? Didn't I break this down for you like 5 months ago? What did I tell you? I told you that this third fight was always going to happen.
I have very bad memory, so go ahead, help me out.
I told you this whole arbitration thing was stall tactics because they always wanted to put this fight in front of a live gate. They were waiting for the pandemic to get over. I interviewed Bob multiple times, and he told on himself multiple times. How could there be an expiration date on the rematch clause when Bob was throwing a December date out there and he was throwing a February date out there, and he said expiration was in October? So this, I've been saying this for how long? I've been saying this for, Eric, like about 5 months at least.
At least you've been talking
right?
about your off the
I said that this was just bullshit to stall it out so they could put this fight in front of a live gate. This was all stall tactics, bro. They already knew they was gonna win the arbitration was just there another thing to stall this thing out. Everybody was in on this, bro. I even think Eddie knew about it, bro.
No.
Which proves my point that the fix was in on this fight. You just said it. Everybody was in on this, right? You just said it.
Everybody thinks that this ain't a money fight, right? This is a huge fight, this third fight, bro. This is a huge fight. You know, I don't know for sure.
Where's the promotion? Like, they announced this fight a month ago. There's no promotion.
But everybody's
really, no
talking
buzz
about
around it.
It.
I mean, there's
everybody's
not.
Talking about it on social media, bro. I think this fight
yeah,
doesn't
you know
make
what?
A pay-per-view buy.
No.
I mean, a million
yeah,
is a fail.
Everybody always talks about his fights, but it doesn't really sell like that.
This fight will sell. No doubt about it.
250 to 350. I'm telling you, it's not going
you
over.
Said that
it's
last time.
A million.
You said that last time, and it did 850, Eric.
A million? That was a
they're
one
gonna do a million.
Sound the last time,
they,
man.
They're going to do a million.
You think they're going to do a million? That's what you say.
They're doing a million.
I don't know if you guys know, but the terrestrial pay-per-views were 800, and then they had digital buys. Remember, they
yeah.
sell
that's
them.
What I'm saying. They did 850.
No.
They may have done a million last time, right?
They did 1.2 with the digital.
Okay. That's what I was hearing, too. I'm like, okay.
They brought in like 400 just on digital. Because if you buy it off your app, which I don't recommend you doing.
No, because you can't get the archive on that.
You get no on-demand.
Buy it on your box, and you can save it on your box. You're right.
Wow. You don't get the on-demand, do you?
Waste of time.
It's highway robbery. You pay it. You're renting the pay-per-view. That doesn't make sense. That's not fair.
Waste of money.
Don't do it that way on the digital. But
you know why they do that, though, Ness? Because a lot of people cut the cord, and that's the only way they can watch it.
But on YouTube, if I buy, I bought a Huey Fury Pulev. It's still on my YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube's different. Yeah, you're right.
It's not fair. Like, it's an app. They should archive what I purchased.
No, you're right.
Killing from people that don't. Get Troy out here with all this background noise, chewing on his gum.
No, I'm sorry, man.
That's right.
All right, Troy, we're going to let you go. We're going to keep moving, man.
Put that puzzle together later, man. You have to put that puzzle when you're talking to us.
I know, seriously. Like, just get a real phone next time, man. Don't worry about it.
All right. Here we go.
He's going through a tunnel as he's talking to us. Area code 443, another Baltimore. This might be Wood.
That's Wood.
443, you're live.
What's up? Hello?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Robbie, Ness, everybody? I just wanted to go back to reminisce the old times when Ness had to cut me and Beeb used to argue like madmen, and Ness was the big guy breaking us up. We used to argue, me and Beeb.
Yeah,
we was both passionate about the sport, though. We were just both passionate. That's what Ness used to say. We were both passionate, but we used to go overboard. But yeah, man, I believe this fight. Get about this fight, and Ness is over the years. I've been knowing Ness before he had like 4,000 subscribers. I was unsubscribed with Ness. That's the first thing I did when I got out the hospital is subscribe to Ness. I got back into boxing. Yeah, Ness. He grew up a lot, man, and that's what life is all about, growing. And he's a businessman, and that's what you got to do. You don't know everything when you start off. And even Beeb has changed a lot. Beeb wasn't always this well-rounded person. Beeb had a little attitude, but he's grown a lot. Beeb's grown a lot. Robbie always been Robbie. Robbie always been the same. But I want to say about this fight. I believe this fight going to do a lot, and it's because of one reason. Because he went on to say, when you make up all these excuses, the whole world is going to watch and see what you do next. Now you blame the mailman, you don't blame the milkman, you don't blame the show salesman, everybody, the referee, you know, the fans, everybody. You have blamed everybody. Now people want to see what do you do next. Now that's why he don't have anything to say, because he already done blamed everybody. The whole world is watching Deontay Wilder, and now they want to see what he's going to do. I believe people are going to tune in to see what he's going to do now. But I always said he didn't train. He started believing the hype. He stopped training. That's why I said he panicked. I believe he panicked, and that's why he looked so different. I believe he panicked. Now he's actually training now. He's actually training. That's why he's confident. Now he got a little confidence because he's training. He didn't train the second fight. He started believing the hype. He started believing that's all he had to do is be perfect for 1 second and get you out of there. That didn't work. Now he's back training. The world is watching him. I believe people are going to tune in and see if he's going to get himself together. If he get his ass kicked again, he have nobody else to blame. So I'm going to tune in for that. A lot of people want to tune in for that. So that's all I gotta say. I'm not gonna hold up the line, but the world is gonna watch to see what you're gonna do next, because you done blamed everybody. You even fired your coach and say he tried to poison you. Everybody is watching to see, okay, what's up next? All right, y'all. Love y'all, man. Keep grinding.
All right. Thanks so much, Wood. You know, okay. So we talked about pay-per-view numbers earlier. I'm thinking this does 350. You guys say it does a million. So you guys both
million.
Say it does a million, north
wow.
of a million.
Million easy. Million
yep.
easy.
Million
more?
Easy.
Million going away.
Son.
Million going away.
Eric, listen, man. Neither of the Fury fights with Wilder did 300.
Does anybody really want to see a third fight, though, especially when they were so geared up to the other fight?
What did we say when Mayweather was fighting McGregor? We said we always say the same shit. We don't want to see it.
We all completely dumped on it until we saw the press conference.
Then we start seeing the press conference. Dude, I'm buying this. There's no question about it. I'm buying it.
But you and I are cut from a different cloth. We buy everything. We bought the Bobby Gunn fight. You know what I mean? So
everybody's going to buy this, man. I'm telling you right now.
Damn, Bobby Gunn, the bare knuckle guy?
The bare knuckle yep. guy when he fought Roy
he
Jones.
Fought,
yeah, when
he fought Roy
Jones.
Jones,
son.
Got a free bowl of soup at that pay-per-view. That was a good one right there.
Yeah, imagine that. Some coupons, coupon book, whatever you say.
773-773, you're live.
Chicago.
Yep, Chicago. Hello,
that.
Kevin.
I got Nestor Gibbs on the hot seat. Nestor Gibbs on the hot seat.
Oh, shit. Who's that? This guy, he was
Kevin from Chicago.
He was taking shots at you like on Sunday. I had to defend you, bro. I had to defend you.
Kevin from Chicago?
Yep.
What's up, Kevin?
Nestor Gibbs.
He's the leader of the...
No, Nestor Gibbs.
Go ahead.
I used to call on your show a lot.
Talk to him.
I used to watch it.
Give him that rah-rah like he was doing on Sunday. Give him that rah-rah like he was doing on Sunday.
I'm trying to, but you keep interrupting me. Okay. yeah, I used to watch your show all the time. I used to call in. I used to call in all the time, but I had to turn away. And the reason I had to turn away was because you weren't calling out. You weren't keeping that same energy. When it came to Devin Haney, I'll never lose to a white boy. When it comes to Deontay Wilder saying, oh, well, he's a gypsy, so you never know what a gypsy you do. And with that racial statement there, it's just you weren't keeping that same energy. You're allowing your panel to go on and on about these conspiracy theories, the unchecked, oh, the glove and this and that. It was just one thing after the other. So I realized you're nothing. You're like the boxing ego, man. You're like boxing ego light. That's you, man. So I had to tune away because Beeb. I tuned in to Beeb. Beeb said
Devin.
It. Beeb would call it
Devin.
Out. He would call out Devin Haney.
Come
he
on, that's not very
Deontay
nice.
Wilder with his
there's a family show.
Statement.
Come on, that's not nice.
You
think you're being nice
out,
right now?
You wouldn't call him out.
I can't call him out, man. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and you know, a guy that signs up to fight the person who's got his number three times—that's a very ballsy dude. You know, it's not like he's getting any more fame. He's not checking the popularity box. Instead, he's public enemy number one because he forced this fight. So, you know, that says something about him. I think someone else brought up his character earlier, like Troy. And, you know, I think that speaks about his character, man. The dude is infatuated with this rematch. We're just going to have to see what he does. As far as the excuses, you know, my show's a call-in show, opinionated based. So, obviously, we have to let everybody give their take on the excuses. Wilder's entitled to giving his take on what happened or whatever excuses he felt he needed to say, just like you're entitled to call in and debunk them or debate them if you want.
The thing with Wilder is he's got nothing to lose here. He's already got beat twice. Everybody knows that. The first fight, he got a gift draw. The second fight, he got destroyed. So if he loses the third fight, everybody knows he just had his number. It was a bad matchup. So I'm not buying that. Oh, he's got balls going there. He's got nothing to lose. Now, if he goes in there and fights, I don't know, Andy Ruiz,
saying,
and he gets knocked out by Andy Ruiz, now that's a big hit.
So you're saying he has nothing to lose. Are you saying that he comes back from this loss?
I'm saying even if he goes out there and gets destroyed by Fury, everybody's expected it. It's expected. He already got destroyed in the second fight.
But
he got outboxed in the first fight.
But that's the point. People are saying if he loses, his career could be over. You're saying if he loses, his career continues is what you're saying. I just want to be clear.
Well, if he goes and fights, let's see, Filip Hrgović or something, and he gets knocked out by then his career is really over. No, he does. If he loses to Fury, he's going to fight somebody else.
So
people will just say, oh, this is a bad matchup.
Yeah. So it's not over
no,
if,
it's
he,
not
loses
over if
Fury?
He loses to Fury? No, not at all, because he's still got a cult following. He could go and fight some lower-level competition, and he's going to take a big hit, but it's not over.
But
now,
Kevin,
listen.
Kevin, most of the boxing public, however, if Wilder were to lose to Fury, especially the way he lost the second fight, if he lost the third fight the same kind of way, most of the boxing public that pay attention to the sport would consider his career over. And you're saying the exact opposite? What would be in it for Deontay Wilder because he would no longer get the big paydays?
What would be a worse look, losing to Tyson Fury or losing to Andy Ruiz, Filip Hrgović? Some of these lower tier fighters. What's a worse look?
No, you're missing
lower tier fighters.
Yeah, he would lose. Yeah, if he lost to lower tier fighters, of course it would be bad. But if he loses
to
Fury again,
listen to what
again,
you just said.
You're missing
what
my
you
point.
Just said.
He's
going to be fighting lower tier fighters if he loses to Fury. That's what you're just saying. You're going to be putting him in a different class if he loses to Fury, because you're saying he's going to be fighting lower tier fighters. So essentially, that means his career would be on the downside, right?
Of course.
He's going to be fighting. You're saying lower tier fighters. Those are your words, right?
Yeah.
So he needs to win to keep himself up at a high level, correct? So his career would take a significant hit. It would be on the downside. It would be going towards being over. It would be going towards being over. He'd have one foot out the door.
I think you think his career would be over, and I said no, I don't think his career would be over. I think he still has fights left. He could still put some big fights together with the second tier level of fighters coming up.
But
His career, I don't want to fight second tier guys.
At the high level will be over.
The problem you have here.
His career at the high level will be over.
The
possibly.
Problem you
yeah, he's
in
not
my
a champion
opinion,
no more. Of course, he's not a champion.
The
of
problem you have here,
champion.
Kevin, is a heavyweight champion is used to making a significant amount of money. If he loses this fight and he loses as badly as he did the second time around, there would be no point in him continuing to fight because he would no longer get the paydays that he's used to getting. Do you think Deontay Wilder would take a lower payday to continue fighting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Name one fighter.
I think he would.
Name one fighter that suffered back-to-back KO. So say he gets beat just as bad as he did in the second fight, right? Name one fighter that lost back-to-back fights horribly like that, like he could in this situation. Have they ever come back from that? Name one guy.
Mayorga.
Look at someone like
knocked
Kovalev.
Out back-to-back.
Kovalev.
Yeah.
He got beat.
Actually,
down.
Mayorga
he
beat.
Fighting. He got big
payday. He beat Forrest twice.
So Mosley lost to Forrest twice and came back and had huge fights.
But I'm saying two back-to-back devastating knockout losses.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Not once, man. He only got
no, one. But I'm saying if he gets beat in this third fight,
then.
As badly as he got beat in the second fight.
36, Bean, he might hang it up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I haven't seen one fighter. Usually when fighters, like, suffer two bad beatings in a row, that's when they hang it up.
Somebody's saying Lennox Lewis. You're the historian.
Not back. He never lost back-to-back
knockouts.
You guys
are missing my point.
He always would avenge his loss.
My point here is this. If Wilder loses to Fury, people can chalk it up as he just has his number. You just lost to the best fighter in the world, the number one pound-for-pound heavyweight in the world. People can chalk it up as that. Now, if he would lose to someone lower tier, if he wasn't able to get this rematch, if the clause, whatever, the judge gave him his rematch, then he would have to fight someone else. And if he lost that fight, then he would really be in trouble. Then his career would be
But you're speaking
all
these hypotheticals. What difference does all this make? What difference does all this make right now? We're here with the third fight, bro. You wanna jump into the freaking quantum realm right now. We're not in the quantum realm. We're in reality here. What are you going to do? Snap your fingers
with
the reality gem and go into another dimension? We're here right now, bro. We're here.
Even if
he's going down,
Fury,
he's going down this road. Like,
his career isn't over.
If he loses to Fury, his career is over because he will no longer make the money.
I guess it's subjective.
Yeah.
I guess it's subjective.
Okay, yeah, he's not
going to
make
his career,
$10-15 million, whatever he's making, but
I think he can make $10 or $15 million versus Andy Ruiz off a loss. Absolutely. I think if he loses to Fury, right? And Andy Ruiz, let's say, go out there and be, I don't know.
Luis Ortiz.
Oh, my God. He beats Luis Ortiz absolutely Wilder's on pay-per-view. First of all, Luis Ortiz and Andy Ruiz is a pay-per-view, but then Wilder on pay-per-view, too, after that.
But do you think Wilder, if he gets beat badly in this third fight, you think he's still marketable?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, it just depends
Wilder
on how he loses, too.
Ruiz is a blockbuster.
Kevin, we're
going to
get running, man. Thank you.
See,
I think it depends on, like, how he loses, too. You know, if it's, like, a split decision or a close decision, 116, 112, somewhere in there, I think he fights on. But I think if it's a whitewash, I think he's done. I don't think he goes.
I think he retires. I think he retires too. That's what I'm saying. If he gets beat just as badly as he did in the second fight, but I think there's a strong possibility he retires.
I don't even think guys should be leaving that door open for him, because truth of the matter is, with all this shit you talk, if you get beat again, you better not retire. You can't retire off that. You're gonna retire off two losses and a shitload of excuses. You kidding me? You gotta come back and beat.
So you're saying he has to go on a high note. In other words.
Brother, how are we going to forget everything that just happened in the last 36 months?
I don't think we're going to forget it.
It's knockout Fury. Everyone forgives every excuse.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got a knockout Fury.
If he gets that knockout, every excuse he ever made is forgotten.
It is forgotten. I agree.
Yeah.
It is forgotten. 100%.
All right. From Rikers, 508.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
What's up,
Georgie?
Robbie.
Get the subtitles. We had a caller of the year, Beep. Show him some respect. Put some respect on his name.
Need the subtitles.
Hey, champion. Champion. Ringside Reporter champion. Don't forget that. You guys suffer from amnesia.
Thank you, Georgie. Are you talking about you?
I lost a pie bet to this dude again.
Yeah, you got steamrolled by him.
Jesus Christ.
The hate is real.
Yeah, Georgie.
Robbie!
Hey,
yo,
Georgie,
Robbie.
What's up, Georgie?
How's that brown sugar at, baby? Tell me about it.
Oh, God, don't start that whole business again. That's bad. Anyway.
Listen, your boy about to fight again, huh, Wilder?
Hey, I think it's going to be a good fight, but I got Fury in there.
You got Fury in there?
Yep.
Listen, it's going to be the theater of the unexpected. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. This shit's like, yo, this is going to a mythical proportion, legendary. Everybody must support this man. Even if that I don't like Wilder, imagine if we don't got Wilder in the heavyweight division. Fuck, we're going to talk about. Fury going to fight AJ, and then what?
Well, Georgie, who do you have in the fight?
I'm going with the safe shit. I'm going with Fury all day. I see him. Wilder's mentally broken. He ain't there, baby. That's just he's batting a bunch of fucking attitude with ego and shit. I mean, man, he's not there. He's not focused. I think the training that he's doing is trash. All these fucking lift weights. I mean, what you lifting weight for? Don't all hardcores agree that makes you really tense? That you know that fluid in the ring when you do a lot of lifting?
Beeb, you're a bodybuilder. Won't you tell these guys you was impressed with Wilder bench pressing 100 pounds over his weight?
Let them know, Beeb.
I wasn't impressed, bro.
Why?
I don't like
him. He's trying to himself, Beeb.
I'm not a fan of one rep maxes, bro.
Wow.
But he's a 200 pounder pushing 315.
Oh, it was good. It was a lot of weight for him.
Yeah.
Did you put up 315, Beeb?
No, especially for his body frame, because he don't have the body frame to be a bencher. He's got long arms and shit. That's a horrible exercise for him.
Yeah, man, that's more. He's got to go up longer because of those long arms, man.
No, that's a good. That was a good.
Did he really bench that 315? Because those spotters looked to me like they grabbed that stuff.
He did it.
You know what I'm saying?
He did it. I don't know, man.
It looked to me like the spotters was helping him out. I mean, it looked like I could have benched that 315 with those spotters.
No, that was certified. That was certified.
Anybody notice that right hand was lower, which is crazy. That's the strong hand.
There's a misconception, Ness. The strong hand usually goes down lower. You know why? Because the weak hand's fighting harder to push the weight up.
Hmm.
That's why the weak hand goes up first. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. The strong hand is like just pushing it like this. So the other hand is like pushing harder to overcompensate for the weakness of it. So that's why it does that.
There you go.
Yeah, I was slightly impressed.
I don't
want
to interrupt your bodybuilding motherfucking conversation, but this is a boxing show. Fuck all that shit. Listen next. What the fuck?
My thing is this: he could have reached on his bicep and then doing something stupid like that. I never would have let him do that if I was his trainer, man.
The weight is dumb.
That's fucking dumb. Yo, man. Would you? Let me ask you this, Ness. If you was training him, would you allow him to do that?
I mean, we don't know if it was just for the gram. Like, it's one rep. Was it for the gram?
You see the
camera there, too. They had a big camera, so it looks like they were getting some footage for the...
Ness, he could have tore his pec. He could have re-injured his bicep tendon, Ness. Then the fight's over, bro.
I mean, he had two spotters, dude. Did he even lift it?
That's what I'm saying.
It didn't look like he lifted it. Guys, they looked like they were straining. He had two guys on each side. Like,
they were celebrating when it was all done.
I don't know. At the end, he kind of thrusted it up there like...
Yo, I thought the house was coming down when he crashed into the pillar. Did you notice it?
Yeah, man. He went into his, like, warrior madness after he put that up, man.
He went straight into the pillar, gave the pillar, like, a shoulder bump.
Yo, listen. While the cam, they never saw that fucking David Haye to solve a fucking confrontation, huh? These UK there, they're not there for the camera. All these pictures and shit, what that even means? What that means? Beach body? He got a beach body now? What the fuck?
I got a beach body
listen
now.
This. Listen this.
What
you
say
about?
Jordan?
I want to talk about Ortiz bodies. That's what I want to talk about. You always talk about
which
Ortiz
one?
Being this killer and this killer. David Ortiz. Where the bodies at? They always talking about these mental type of killers. Yeah, you know. Where are the bodies on this record that Ortiz had? Like, you always say that he's competition, that while they've knocked him out twice, this, that, or the third. But who Ortiz fucking fought that he knocked out? Where these bodies at?
Who did he knock? He did. His greatest win is Brian Jennings.
That's
yeah.
about
it. That's his greatest win.
So how
yeah,
come
Georgie,
you
got
this boogeyman name?
You're still
I'm going
through, like,
Georgie
Wilder's
the killer. Record. Now I'm going to be a killer? If I call myself Georgie Poison
saying,
the killer, I'm a killer? Come on now.
Why is he the boogeyman? He's the boogeyman because Dillian White doesn't want to take the fight, right? AJ didn't take the fight, right?
He's
like,
speaking
where's
English.
The heavyweight?
He's speaking no English.
Okay.
No money there. There ain't no Cuban fans out there. When was the last time you ran into a Cuban fan? As a matter of fact, when was the last time you fought 10 Cubans together?
You understand that doesn't make any sense. It's a complete lie because Wilder did a pay-per-view of 275,000 buys with Luis Ortiz. So if he wasn't a draw, he wouldn't be able to sell with Wilder.
I mean,
maybe
the
that's
whole thing about Wilder
that
being a draw,
so
I think that shit is dead
you
now,
know,
right? That's got to be dead at
you
this
guys
point.
Know.
I mean, Georgie's still...
Listen. Listen.
Damn,
you
man.
Guys know, like, I know that all these numbers is fucking inflated and manipulated. Digital bots. You're talking about who the fuck confirming these so-called digital bots? What they got there? Russian bots?
Man, I ain't hear nothing but Russian bots. What do you
say? Fucking numbers, man.
No idea.
I'm talking about the so-called digital numbers, the digital bots that came out later on. You say they came out, could be up to a million. Like, if you add up the so-called bots on the apps and the bots on the bots and the bots on the fucking computer, whatever the fucking they buy this shit, right? Who certified these bots? We go up whatever the fuck Disney can say they saw.
So now you're saying that whatever was reported
I'm saying this. CNN.
You said who's
got cutting a bunch of lies. Listen, follow me here 2 seconds. CNN have been caught in a bunch of mistakes in that color lies. So MSNBC, so Fox News, all type of fucking media out there have been caught manipulating numbers. Why boxing gonna be any different?
Why does everything with you have to be a conspiracy theory, George?
Because it's the dark side of the force, baby. Get it straight. Come on, man. This is how we get fooled all the time. I don't have that lot of time for all this nonsense. So I'm going to leave you this assignment for next week. Got to go. Everybody support the channel. Donate. I'm outie.
Okay.
Georgie.
That gives me a headache every time he calls in.
Yeah.
Speaking of headaches,
You know what I'm
Ness,
going.
I do have a question for you. Since you've been in the training camp, what do you think of Wilder's a new training camp and trainers?
He hasn't been in Wilder's training camp.
I haven't been in this.
Okay.
But I can tell you, I do like Malik Scott. You know, he's been there for about three of the camps already. The only difference is his role has been changed to head trainer. And I've seen him work with other people. You guys can check on my channel, and there'll be pad work with other heavyweights like Jujuy Fa, even Mark Breland, Odiasi. Like, he's good. And since he's taken over, I've asked other people, even Cassius Chaney, for instance, I believe was the one that was going to train with him once upon a time. Like, I think Malik does have a good boxing mind, and I think that guys like Ronnie Shields, Freddie Roach, and I'm sure Beep can name a bunch of other trainers that never won world titles. So the fact that Malik is getting such criticism for being Wilder's trainer when he's obviously more accomplished than Ronnie Shields and Freddie Roach, but no one's claiming Ronnie Shields and Freddie Roach couldn't be world-class trainers, and they are. So I think that, you know, Malik Scott, he's gone to the heights that he has. He's faced Wilder. He's faced Chisora. He's probably got a few other names under his belt. That in itself is enough accolades and resume when you compare him to some of these other trainers. I mean, Hector Bermudez, any world titles he's won? I mean, you know, what about Kay Kimura, who trained Shakur and Jared Anderson? Like, where are all these other world champions? Only Robert Garcia is the one I know who's been a world champion and now is a world-class trainer. Like, for people to knock Malik Scott because he wasn't a world champion, it doesn't indicate that you're not going to be an elite level trainer. You know, training I think is more about nurturing than it is teaching, man. Like, a lot of these guys just need like someone there on a day-to-day basis, you know. So I don't know, man. I'm hoping it's a great fight. I'm hoping he makes the necessary changes so that it can be more competitive.
Is this Malik Scott's first time as a lead trainer?
Absolutely. Other than his son. But if you go through his Instagram, bro, he's got this girl that he's been doing pad work for about 4 years. I'm sure a lot of us know her because she's extremely gorgeous. She's extremely gorgeous. I think I said that already. And, yeah, like, I think she could turn pro, man, just based off pad work that he's been doing for the last 4 years. And that goes to show, like, what he's been teaching her. I'm sure she won't go pro, and all the same phrases still remain the same. You know, pads don't hit back. What is she going to do when she gets in the ring, and how does she look in sparring? But, again, what he is teaching, his son is another person. You can see his son looks decent. You know, so what he is teaching, he looks all right. He looks all right. There's not much you can do. We just got to wait and see. This is his biggest task. So he's
giving the benefit of the doubt. We're giving the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
All right, we're giving the benefit of the doubt.
706. Robbie's favorite guy. You're live.
Oh, fuck.
Hello, Jason.
And then again, maybe it's not.
Oh, God.
Now watch. He's not going to answer.
He's
going to
cry.
And then he's going to blow
cry.
Beep's phone.
He's going to try to text me. Why didn't Eric put me on? Why didn't Eric put me on?
He didn't do it for me. 706, I feel like he has a screen name. What's his screen name?
He's Haman's Planet.
Haman's Planet. Yeah, Haman's Planet.
Haman's Planet.
You know
yeah.
him. You know him.
312, you're live.
Yo.
Fight Doctor.
The Fight Doctor's in the house on Rick James status as always. What's going
hey,
on, gentlemen?
Good evening, Fight Doctor.
Fight Doctor.
Shut up.
Wow.
Shut up, to Ness.
Fight Doctor. Yo, I fucking miss you, bro. Listen, where have you been?
Been over here
I've been some here, some there. But you know what? I need to come home, brother. I need to come home.
Yo, I miss you, man. That's what's up. Good to hear your voice.
Man, it's even better to hear yours, bro. Listen, I had to be a part of this because it's been a very long time since the three of you guys have been together. And, you know, this brings back very sweet memories of all of the comedy and chaos that you guys and I was able to be a part of over at the TBV. So, yeah, just wanted to come on and, you know, maybe just relive a little bit of the comedy and chaos from, you know, so long ago. So, yeah, it's good to hear your voice, man.
Likewise, brother.
Yeah, is there anything else, or did you want to give him a shoulder rub while you're at it? Or, I mean, what's, do you have a question? I mean, do you want to wash his car? Hey, Neff, do me a favor. Pull your car around so Fight Doctor go out there and wash your car for you real quick.
Oh, Neff, I miss you so much.
Oh,
yes. Yes. I just missed you. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, see, Eric.
Wake up
and
be a man, son.
You were not part of all the debates that went on.
Eric, this is nostalgia,
Eric.
This is nostalgia.
Anyway, get your washcloth ready, all right?
Come on, Eric. You weren't there, Eric. You don't understand.
Yeah, man. Eric, we can create a new legacy with you, okay? We can create new comedy and new chaos, and we can include you in it, okay? I don't want you to be left out, Eric.
I appreciate
okay?
that. Thank you
I don't
so
want you to be left
much.
Out,
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Can you guys hear this?
So, gentlemen,
yeah.
Hey,
yes,
there you
yeah.
go. There
I like
you
that.
Go. Yeah.
I didn't know you can hear that. I wanted to play this for Fight Doctor. I haven't heard this before.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga.
Fight Doctor. Oh, man.
Chicago in the building, man. Shout out to you, man.
So, Fight Doctor's like starstruck or something. This is the quietest he's ever been. He just stands on the line. He's the quietest I've ever seen him.
I know. He's used to
he's like starstruck. I know. He's like starstruck now.
No, he hasn't gone in on you yet.
I can't believe my man's back now.
I'm just enjoying the moment.
Hey, Fight Doctor's one of our better callers.
All right,
we're
enjoying it on hold, all right, because you're boring me to death here, all right?
All right, gentlemen.
All right, man. 760, you're live.
Oh, this has got to be Brian. You know, we're talking heavyweight.
Hey, what's
this
going on,
Brian.
Fellas? What's up with you, Rob? Hey, good to hear from you.
Hey,
Brian,
so,
what's up, Brian?
Brian, what's up?
What's good? Hey, Eric, hey, before I get started, don't forget about the pie bet we had. Remember the pie
what's
bet?
What's the pie bet
Canelo?
We had? I already forgot about it.
No Canelo, no Caleb Plant. Remember, if we don't get Caleb Plant.
I was there.
Yeah,
that
you can.
Ain't
you
happening
can,
either.
Hey, you can run it back. Look at it. Yeah, don't forget. I have Lamont.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll welch on belts. I'll welch on it. I don't care. What do I care about it? You know what I mean?
You know
that's
what? I ain't going to lie.
Remember I told you that?
Look, Eric, I wanted to be the loser in that situation so we could get the fight, but unfortunately, that's not how it goes, man. So you got to learn.
Yeah,
hey, but look,
if it doesn't happen, I'll take one.
Yeah, it's sad if it don't, though. But look, let me ask you guys a question real quick. Who, when you guys watching the fight on July the 24th between Wilder and Tyson Fury, who are you going to be rooting for? That's a good question, because we all saying, like, oh, Fury going to beat him. He beat him last time. But who are you guys going to be rooting for next?
I got to root for Tyson Fury because I've been riding with Tyson Fury since like 2012, bro. I got to root for Tyson Fury, but that doesn't mean I don't like Deontay Wilder.
I'm rooting for Wilder, man. I'm rooting for Wilder. I feel like you know, we never got that fucking AJ fight. I think
for sure.
I think he could beat AJ. I always thought Fury was his toughest fight. I never wanted it first. I'm on record saying that. So, yeah, if he can get past Fury, I want that AJ fight.
Right.
I think I like Fury in this one. I'd rather see the Fury AJ fight than I would. But, you know, part of me is conflicted on this, too. Because, I like Wilder, too. But part of me is conflicted because I do want to see Wilder win. I think he deserves to win for the way he was treated, for the way he was, you know, coming into this fight, them negotiating with AJ, knowing this was on the table. You know, it was a slight. It really was. And if there's
right.
any justice in the world, Deontay Wilder knocks
him out. Yeah, that's what you said. I like how you say that right there. If there's any justice, he'll win the fight.
Yeah, because you're a Wilder fan.
Hey, but look, man, look.
I love fucking
Wilder.
Yeah,
I'm a Wilder fan. Shit,
hey,
I'm going to be rooting for Wilder all day. Shit, if he lose, he lose. Who gives a damn? My life still go on, you feel me? But it ain't all that serious. I ain't an extremist.
Yeah, you may call him sick a couple of days at work if he loses. Are you going to call him sick on Monday if Wilder loses? If Wilder loses, will you call him sick a couple of days at work? Take a couple of personal days?
I think I might take a couple of weeks. It might be a couple of weeks.
Damn.
Okay, a couple of weeks this time. I might say handle. I'd be like, damn.
He was calling me up, man. He was calling me up, pouring his heart out to me after Wilder lost that second fight.
It was sad. It was sad, man. I don't want to see that shit again, man. You guys don't want to see that shit again.
Spent many long nights talking this guy off the ledge.
Look.
I had to call that one.
Look, man, I know
how
you
guys. How many times have I picked Fury?
So
and I told Eric, how many times have I told you, man, about Fury? No one wants to listen.
You
didn't want to listen.
Stoppage, though, did you? Did you go with the stoppage, B?
No, I didn't think he was going to stop him. I can't lie about that. I can lie about that.
Dude, I didn't even believe the dude was going to put
on
the weight. You guys really think he's going to.
Look.
No,
hey,
he's
hold on, man. Y'all taking up my call. Hey, hold on real quick. Hey, if Wilder do win, because he an underdog.
Sorry, you have the floor now. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. What was I doing?
Okay, like I said. Okay, if Wilder wins, like being an underdog in this whole situation, where would that rank him to beat Tyson Fury? Because they already saying that Tyson Fury is the next Muhammad Ali since he beat Wilder. So if Wilder beats Fury, where would that put him?
I think it puts him back where he's already at or where he once was amongst, you know, one of the baddest, most feared, biggest punching heavyweights in history. That's his role, is the bad guy, you know, as in terms of power, you know. I think that's his role.
Right. Okay, for sure. Well, hey, man, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Thank you
all
for calling,
Brian.
Brian, thank you
for that He sent me a Tyson Fury shirt, man. He sent me a Tyson Fury shirt with Tyson Fury sitting on the throne with a crown. I got to give him a shout out for that.
Listen, this might be a blessing in disguise.
That's another guy's clothes. That's just my mind. That's all right. That's all right.
This could be a blessing in disguise for Wilder, right? Because think about it. First fight, if he beats Fury, what does Beeb say? Oh, well, Fury was 300 pounds. He had two tune-ups, not on the level of Wilder. So, you know, a lot of people felt Fury should have got the decision in that first fight. Then the second fight comes, Fury completely outclasses him. So now when Wilder beats him, he gets credit.
He does. He gets super duper. If he beats him now, he beats him now, I'm going to give him a ton of credit.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with that scenario.
Go ahead, Robbie. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's go with that scenario. Let's say that Deontay Wilder goes ahead and beats Fury. Which camp is easier to negotiate with if you're Eddie Hearn? Is it easier to negotiate with Top Rank, or is it easier to negotiate with PBC when it comes to a Joshua fight?
You won't be negotiating with Top Rank if Fury loses. What are you going to do? Fight
a
loser?
I'm saying if
Fury wins or if Wilder wins. He's looking at the scenario if either guy won, he would be easy to work with.
I was fortunate enough to have Eddie Hearns on my morning show today, so you guys could check that out. But he said he would keep the same energy that he had with Fury. He's going to keep the same 50-50 energy and try to make the fight with Wilder. You know, he basically said gone are the days that Wilder wasn't popular. If he could get the win, you know, there's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, he said he'd go 50-50 with Wilder if Wilder won.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He said, look, it's not about Wilder. It's not about Fury. It's about the belt. AJ's looking for the belt. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. D-Style, you're live, 915.
Hispanics called him Panny.
Where's he at?
Ah, man, he probably can't talk. They gave him a real beat on my show earlier, man.
Oh, no.
He was taking the beat down, man.
All right, 323, you're live. He was trying to say Tank wasn't a star, man. I don't see how he doesn't see it.
Yeah, Tank's a star. 3-2-3, you live? Anybody? One?
California, what's that? L.A., California?
What's going on? It's your boy H Money, Mr. DeZone. We in the building. Let's get it. What's good? How y'all doing?
We're good, man.
What's going on? The Mighty H. The Mighty H.
What's good, man. We all know Deontay Wilder been lying to the people. We all know Deontay Wilder, he can't take a loss like a man. First it was the suit was too heavy, then the water was spiked, then the gloves were loaded. Take your loss like a man, Deontay Wilder. Stop using race as an excuse. You took less money to fight Tyson Fury. You knew Tyson Fury had a history of cheating, but you still fought him, and you turned down a fight for more money with Anthony Joshua. Let's be real about this situation. Malik Scott, he has no experience as a trainer in the sport of boxing. Name one champion Malik Scott trained. Just one. Now, there's a narrative on you don't have to be a great fighter to be a great trainer. But Robert Garcia, he was a world champion. Roger Mayweather, he was a world champion. Rest in peace. Malik Scott, he got knocked out by his own fighter, Deontay Wilder. Name one time that ever happened in boxing. Malik Scott had a fixed fight with Deontay Wilder. Name a time that happened. Malik Scott got his ass beat by Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury busted his eardrum. And now he's training Deontay Wilder to fight the same guy that busted his eardrum. The whole bomb squad been knocked out. Kay Jones been knocked out. Malik Scott got knocked out. Deontay Wilder just got knocked out. Nobody want to talk about that second fight. And there's always some type of excuse. What adjustments will Deontay Wilder make when Tyson Fury get on the inside and Tyson Fury start backing him up? What he going to do? Can he make adjustments as a fighter? I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it, bro. You know what I mean? So I want to give a special shout-out to Nestor Gibbs and the Boxing Voice for giving me an opportunity on his platform. You know what I mean? And I made my own platform. So I want to thank you, Ness. And B, thank you for bringing him to the platform so we all can get reunited. You know what I mean? Reunited, and it feels so good. Reunited, and it feels so good. This Friday, Javier Fortuna versus JoJo Diaz. The winner will fight Devin Haney next. Devin Haney, the youngest champion in boxing. Devin Haney, the next Floyd Mayweather. We want all the champions. We want Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Tank Davis. Devin Haney, the smartest fighter in boxing. Devin Haney, the next Andre Ward. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Team Haney, this Friday. JoJo Diaz, Javier Fortuna, the winner better fight Devin Haney or it's a whole lot of ducking going on. He the youngest boogeyman in boxing. He's the youngest boogeyman in boxing, B. Come on, B. Haney time. Let's go.
Hey.
Y'all have any excuses? Hey, Ness. Hey. What's up with Wilder, bro? What's up? Talk to me, Ness.
Yo, what we got? 18 days, champ. 18 days, and we're going to have all the answers that he didn't want to give us, man.
Hey, Ness, he focused on you while he should be focused on Tyson Fury. He's so focused on your YouTube videos, he's not focused on Tyson Fury. Where was the energy at the press conference? I thought it was speak it, believe it, receive it. He wasn't speaking at the press conference. He had on his headphones. July 24th, them headphones got to come off, and he got to face reality. He's going to have to fight Tyson Fury, who's considered the best heavyweight in the world. 6'9". He coming in 300 pounds. What Wilder going to do? Tyson Fury got too many skills, man. He underestimated Tyson Fury. He slept on him. Tyson Fury came back and dominated. Tyson Fury shocked the world 2 times. I don't care what color Tyson Fury is. The man can fight. The man can fight, bro. And I appreciate the opportunity. You already know, man. H Money, Mr. DeZone. We in the building. Let's go.
H Money.
Wow, man. That was great.
Wow. Do you think he reads all that? Do you think he's got – I think he's got it all. I think he's got it all prepared. I really do. I think he's got it all prepared because he gets flustered when he comes off of that script.
Why do you always get to try and steal somebody's shine?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Just asking questions, Beeb. I can't ask questions no more.
You can do whatever you want.
Yo, I was going to ask, man. He didn't give me an opportunity to ask him, so I'll ask you guys. The narrative is – putting on the headphones didn't give Fury anything to feed off of. Hence, kind of, it was like a reversal of roles, right? Like, Fury wasn't in control because Wilder didn't give him anything. Did you guys see it that way? Or did you see it like, you know, I guess the rest of the YouTube media that's like, oh, he put the headphones not to have to deal with Fury?
I think that's it. I think that he put those headphones on to not have to deal with it. I think he doesn't want to hear any negativity right now, which explains why he's only going on certain platforms and everything like that. He doesn't want to hear the negativity. He only wants positive vibes. And good or bad, I mean, you can view it how you want. If it works for him, who are we to say? You know, I don't know. We'll find out in, you know, a couple of weeks if it worked for him or not.
Well, there's two sides to it. There's one side that, you know what, the talking's done. I'm just here. I'm in fight mode right now. And I don't want to go back and forth with this guy. I just want to get in the ring and do my talking in the ring. And then the other one is, you know what? I don't want to face the music. I don't want to, you know, I accuse this guy, and I don't want to face the guy who I'm accusing of all these things. I don't want to call him out. And, you know, the perception is that the whole press was against him. Everyone lied on him and this and that. And then, you know, Malik Scott's on 78's video saying, well, you know, we're not going to talk to people who disrespected us and shit on us. And now if people want to just say that we lost, or they want to say, well, I'm picking Fury, whatever, we don't care about that. But that's not true, because Wilder went at people who, like the Charlo brothers, both of them, like, they didn't say anything derogatory. They just said, I think he lost. I don't think race had anything to do with it. They didn't call him any names. And then, you know, Wilder attacked Jamel. Then Jamal said, I don't think Fury cheated. And then Wilder attacked him. Paulie Malignaggi said, I scored the fight for Fury. Then Wilder attacked him. So it's not like people coming at him sideways. They just don't want to. They want blind loyalty. They want unconditional praise. That's what they want. And if they don't get it, then you're done. Then you're done. That's it. Like, think about this. Imagine being with a friend and you're fucking up all the time. You're getting drunk. You're getting behind the wheel. And your friend just doesn't say anything to you, doesn't care that you're fucking up. And then you get in a car accident, right? Like, your friend is like the enabler. Like, your friend is supposed to be there to walk you off that ledge, supposed to tell you when you're doing shit wrong. You want to hear the truth from people close to you. You don't want everyone to just tell you what's the right thing or what you're doing right. You want to be told when you're doing something wrong so you can fix what you're doing wrong. Everyone's just telling you everything you're doing is right. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So if people are there telling you that you're doing things wrong, and you just want to look at them as attacking you or being negative towards you or being that most overused word in social media today, hater, right? If you want to call everybody a hater because they're telling you things you don't want to hear, then, I mean, you're not going to be able to correct your mistakes. You're not going to get better as a man. Ness, we made mistakes. We admitted we made mistakes. If we were stubborn, then where would we be today, right? Think about it.
Very true.
Right? We're on this camera together, that's for sure.
So that's the thing. Like, just because someone tells you that, like things you don't want to hear, you know, Eric and I, we have offline conversations and we constructively criticize. Well, maybe we should do this. I don't think you should do that. Well, what do you think about this? Like, I'm not going to sit there and say everything that Eric does is great and everything. I don't want Eric to say everything I do is great. I remember when you used to tell me, Beeb, your mic sucks. Get a new mic. I got a new mic. Beeb, you need to get a better camera. You're looking like fucking pixelated and shit, right? I got a new camera. Beeb, when you go to the fights, make sure you have a camcorder. I bought a camcorder, right? Because, I mean, you were telling me these things to make me better, to make the product better, right?
That's it.
So what am I going to do? Fuck you, Ness. Oh, I'm just going to use my phone. What do you fuck? No, I did what I thought was right because I respected your opinion and you gave me information and I took it as you're trying to make me better so I could make the show better and I can make the product better. And that's all it is. Like, people just have an opinion, right? So it's just unfortunate if all this just isn't an act and it's not just him being a character and if he really believes that everyone's out to get him. If he needs to believe that, he needs to have that chip on his shoulder that, like, the world's against me and that makes him better, that's great. But if he's going to be stubborn and still think that he only has to be right for 1 second and he's going to depend on that one punch again, then we'll see what happens in this fight. We'll see. Like you said, we got 18 days. We got 18 days. Put up or shut up, right?
Definitely, man. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I know it's going to be huge. You guys should join me on a live fight chat. We should definitely.
I will. I'll come on. I'll come on.
I remember the second one. That's why I don't understand the Breland. And that second one, you can hear me saying, like, yo, they got to stop this fight. They got to stop. Like, you know, it was pretty clear. So we'll see, man, what happens next, man. But, guys, I'm going to cut out. I got my daughter in town. I do want to thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. I know this meant a lot to you guys, meant a lot to me, and we appreciate you for sure,
man.
Coming on.
Means a lot to me, man. Guaranteed, as long as I got an invite, I'll be back more regularly. Like I said, I think that we should all frequent each other's channels to grow each other's brand. You know, even H Money. You know what I'm saying?
So, Ness, who you picking? Who you picking?
For what, Wilder Fury?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you got to go with Fury, man. He's the favorite for the reason. You know, I'm going to be rooting for Wilder. I want him to get a win. But
got it. You going to bet the over? You going to bet the over?
The over.
I would bet the over. I would bet the over as well.
You're saying they're going over.
They probably knock him out maybe in between 8 and 10 rounds.
Fury, I think they knock him out at 7?
7.5.
7.5.
Yeah, take the over. I would take the over.
But it's minus money. It's not even a worthy bet.
How much is it a minus? 115?
105 and 115.
105 is the over or 115 is the over?
The under is 105. 115 is the over.
Yeah, so it's almost even money then.
Exactly. You got to bet 115.
You get 100 back. You get 100 back.
Exactly. That's like a shit bet.
So what are you going to do? You're going to bet Fury? Like, if you bet Fury, you're going to lose money. The only way you can make, like, get, you can...
Parlay it. I would parlay it. You know, you could do Fury, just money line with anything else and see if you can at least get plus money. I don't do minus money bets, man.
So you can bet Fury just to win straight up and then maybe bet Fury by the knockout or bet Fury by... You can bet Fury by knockout and Fury by decision. Then you get plus.
I wouldn't do that either because then you're just hedging. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would just put Fury in parlays with other guarantees.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll just put Fury in a three-team guaranteed parlay. Like,
I got you.
FA, Fury,
okay.
And like
okay.
That.
That's what what's his name? Chikal does that.
Yeah, Chikal's been killing it lately.
Yeah, he does that.
Parlays are a little bit safer. You can bet less and... You know, if you hit a 5-team parlay, you're gonna make some money. You just gotta, you know what I mean? And it's a little bit easy in boxing. You can pick all the favorites these days, and if you pick all the favorites in the weekend, you'll end up like plus 300. So if you're $100 better, you are doing good because you're bringing home $400. It's on you. If you're a cheap guy like me betting 2, 5, 10 here, then you're not really bringing in the money. But yeah, man, I would rather bet on plus money.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, brother.
All right.
All right. Fellas, man, thank you once again. It was absolutely everything I hoped that it would be. I can't wait to get back on with you guys. Ness GTO, all forms of social media. Catch me every morning at 9 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice. Thank you guys again. Till the next one.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Strong, man.
Awesome. That was a good reunion, man. That was really nice.
That was awesome.
There you go. All right, let's go on here with the topics here. Just real quick, we're going to wrap things up here in a minute. Gervonta Davis and Mario Barrios, the pay-per-view, Mike Coppinger is actually reporting that the pay-per-view did between 210 and 215,000. I'll be honest with you, that's still not crazy numbers. I don't know that it was the numbers they were hoping for. But he is a bigger, you know, let me ask you a question, B. Where does this go here? Because they're talking about star power. Is he a bigger star than Josh Taylor, who's the undisputed champion?
In America, yeah.
Yeah,
not in the UK.
Because...
Like UK, Josh Taylor is very popular.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, now is Josh Taylor more popular in the UK than Gervonta Davis in the United States? You can make an argument that possibly he is, because I know a lot of UK fans that love Josh Taylor, man. They love Josh Taylor. But Tank Tank is really becoming a social media star. Like a lot of people in the entertainment business and the sports business are talking about Tank. I went to work and someone mentioned, like, who was that little guy that Floyd Mayweather promotes? He fought on, like, so he's getting popular just because of his affiliation with Floyd Mayweather.
That
right?
Water cooler, yeah.
Yeah, and he draws a really good house, right? He draws a really good live gate. And people complain about the pay-per-views. And for the fans, the pay-per-views do suck. Because when you have other promoters like Golden Boy, Eddie Hearn, the Top Rank, who are all working off of digital platforms, and they're allowing fans affordable options to watch boxing. And then you have PBC, who, when they first came out, they were talking about putting all these fights on free TV. Now they're doing the exact opposite of that, right? So it's not great for the fans. But to be honest with you, for the fighters, it is better. Because if you do the math, right, they guarantee Tank $1 million. They guarantee Barrios 1.5. The undercard didn't make a ton of money either. So Showtime has the budget, right? So they can put up less money for the fight, and then they can allow these fighters to make the money on the back end of the pay-per-view. So from a business standpoint, for all parties involved, right, it's good for Showtime because they get to put up less of their budget money for the fight, right? And Showtime, believe it or not, people don't know this, but they always think that the cable company gets half and the promotional company gets half to pay the fighter. But also the distributor gets 10%. So really, the promoter gets 45, and the cable companies get 45, and the distributor gets 10. So Showtime gets 10%. So out of that money, they get about $1.5 million of the pay-per-view revenue too. So from a business standpoint, it doesn't make sense because Tank possibly could have made upwards of close to $5 million for this fight because of the pay-per-view back end, right? And Mario Barrios could have made like close to $1.2 million. So if they were just to fight on Fox and Fox was going to give them a straight guarantee, Tank would probably get $2 million and Barrios would probably get like $400,000 or $500,000, right? But now these guys have the opportunity to make more money because they're on pay-per-view. But the flip side to that is only 200,000 people saw them, if the numbers are correct. Whereas when you're on TV, Fox or ESPN, you're going to be in front of millions. And those millions can translate into future pay-per-view buys, right? So do you want the money now or do you want to wait a little bit for it? That's the thing.
Well, the other thing I was thinking too, when we talked about these numbers, okay, it was 215. Sure. 200 or 210 to 215 or whatever numbers are going to give us. You know, this didn't come out on Wednesday. This came out toward the end of the week when all the digital buys and everything like that was. Obviously, those are all crunched in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so was this a flop in your opinion?
It did about what I thought it would do. But in terms of do I think these are great numbers? I think they're respectable numbers. I don't think they're good enough. I don't think they're exceptionally great numbers. I think they're acceptable numbers. I don't think they're horrible numbers. I just think they're okay. I think by doing in the 200,000 pay-per-view range, I don't think it's good from a popularity standpoint. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it does anything to add. Well, here's the thing. Let me just rephrase that. So what they did do that was smart is they took clips of the fight and they put them up on social media. So they're putting like the knockout clip, the knockdown clip, and they're putting them on social media. So they're taking clips of the fight, putting on social media, and these clips are getting a shit ton of, like, millions of views. So I guess the strategy is, yeah, we're gonna put up pay-per-view so these guys can make the most money they can make, but then we'll just take portions of the fight and then we're going to show it on social media, and then we'll rebroadcast the fight the following week so more people can watch it. So I guess if you really think about it, they're using social media as a way to really make fighters bigger now. And I think you have to. Yeah, so when people say, oh, well, only 200,000 people watched this fight, if you really think about it, that's not true because, like I said,
when you look at the highlight video on YouTube that, that Premier Boxing Champions put up on there, how many hits did that get? How many hits when you when did the clip on Twitter get? The clip on Instagram get, right? So they're still putting Tank out there to the masses, and a lot of people are seeing it. Now, in terms of the numbers, 200,000 pay-per-view buys, okay, the kid's 26 years old. Floyd didn't start doing pay-per-view till he was 29. His first pay-per-view was 400,000 pay-per-view buys, but he was the B-side. He had Arturo Gatti to be the A-side in that one. And plus, there was no really illegal streaming back then. So, that you know, you have to factor that in. But is the numbers phenomenal? Does that mean he's a pay-per-view star? I would say no, but the potential is there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are talking about him, especially the younger demographic.
Well, and I think a lot of goes into a pay-per-view as well. I mean, that undercard was lousy. I mean, lousy as far as on paper. Now, the guys performed and everything like that, I get that. But on paper, that undercard left a lot to be desired, put it that way. Robert, let me bring you in here for a second here. Is he a star? Is he a pay-per-view star? Tell me. What's up?
He's a star because of the fact that he can sell tickets. But that does not translate right now to pay-per-view buys. In my opinion, if he wants to up his pay-per-view numbers, he's got to up his opposition on the other side of the ring. He's got to get a better quality type opponent. Not saying that Mario Barrios was terrible, but if you get a Vasily Lomachenko, if you get a Ryan Garcia, if you get a Devin Haney, if you get people like that to be on the other side of the ring with you, you're going to increase your pay-per-view numbers. If he stays at 140, if he can somehow get Josh Taylor in the ring. The problem is we don't know what Tank Davis is going to do. We don't know if he's going to go back to 135. We don't know if he's going to stay at 140. We don't know what he's going to do. And you have the problem of Floyd Mayweather basically admitting, we're going to keep things in-house. Well, if you keep things in-house, you're going to limit the kind of fighters that he can actually fight, unless you're going to go out and spend money to sign more people in his weight class that's going to give him interesting fights. That's the one thing I hate about boxing these days, and especially in his division, 135. You got people that could fight one another, but nobody wants to work together. Now, I think that's a real problem.
There you go. All right. I think that's it, guys. Listen, man, if you guys are listening and if you haven't done so already, give us a thumbs up, man. Give us some likes. Give us some love. Give us some love, all right? I didn't get a chance during the broadcast. I'll shout everybody out who gave us super chats and everything like that. We didn't get a chance to. Everything kind of moved fast. Everybody who gave us super chats, thank you so much, man. It really does mean a lot to us. It helps us out. You guys going and telling your friends about this, we're trying to make the channel grow. So that helps us out as well. So anything that you guys can do to help us out, that'd be great. Tell your friends about it. Retweet it. Whatever the case may be, man, help us get bigger, man. The bigger we get, the bigger you guys, you know, like I said, we put on better shows. So trying to grow here, man. Chandler M's in the chat says Teofimo's still a scrub. Don't forget it. We have a pie bet. I had no idea I had a pie bet with Brian, by the way. I had no idea.
I remember you did because you said that.
I want to see the video. I want the video.
I'll pull it up. You said that the Caleb Plant Canelo fight was going to happen. He said he doesn't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, hey, he might be right now. That looks like he's going to target Better BF or whatever. Caleb Plant looks like he's pricing himself out. That's a dumb move on Plant's part. I mean, what's he going to do? I mean,
my whole thing on this is, we'll talk about it real quick, is I think PBC wants to just keep control of that title. They want to get as many in-house fights as they can out of Caleb Plant. I think that he's going to fight. I'm hearing rumors that he's going to fight David Morrell again, the WBA, the guy that just knocked out Cazares in one round. And then I think he'll probably fight Anthony Durrell. And then they're going to end up probably matching him against David Benavidez.
Anthony Durrell, for real?
I would. I mean, like I said, they're gonna milk. They're gonna milk him for all the in-house fights that they can. And you know, everyone does in-house fights, but you know, PBC's got the most fighters, so they're doing in-house fights more than anyone else. And they openly say that we only want to do. And you know, listen to Mayweather saying we got enough fighters over here. We don't need to work with anyone else, right? So I just think that, you know, they want to milk this title for as long as they can. And then if David Benavidez does end up beating Plant, I think David Benavidez, in my opinion, has a better shot of beating Canelo than Kevin Plant does.
Yeah, not at 175, because he ain't going back down. I mean, I don't think
I think he'll go back down. I don't think he'll stay up.
He goes up and beats the Boogeyman at 175, come down for what? He's already beat two guys up there.
Yeah,
I don't think he's
big name guy. Well, he could, you know, if he does beat Benavidez, you know, he could go back. He could go after Bivol too. You're right. You could be right.
Guys up there, two big names, Kovalev, and then Benavidez if he wins.
Well, if he goes after Benavidez and then he fights Bivol, and then he could possibly fight Joe Smith too. So you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, man. We appreciate it. And remember to catch us on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So catch us here, same bat time, same bat channel. I'm at Ringside73 on Twitter, at JHabib1 on Twitter, and catch Ringside Robbie. Where can we catch you, Robert?
You can catch me on Legend Oldies Radio on every Tuesday. We do a podcast all about every sport, from 6 to 8 Eastern. And if you guys want to call and leave me any kind of messages or anything, you can call 773-572-3034 and be sure to leave messages and I will get back to you.
There you go.
Please go.
Oh, stop it, B. What's the matter with you? All right, guys, we will catch you next week.